Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. This is the point in time when I typically introduce Andrew Henderson and Jay Truitt. And par for the course, it looks like I'll be able to do that. I thought for a long time, Jay Truitt, we were going to go without Andrew, but it looks like he figured it out at the last minute. And he's even clear now.
Yeah,
I'll come into another room. There's something very slow about our internet at the moment.
No, I think we figured it out while you were gone. It literally is that while your plan for internet usage is unlimited, you have now reached the maximum Bill Gates insults emails. And so they're starting to throttle your whole service a little bit. Microsoft will be contacting you shortly to find out if you'll at least post something nice about him once or twice a week. You can probably get your speed back up to nominal.
Just when you were wondering why Bill Gates was meeting with Boris Johnson, we now know.
Yeah, it's all about Andrew, cheddar cheese, and him talking about big box stores.
Yeah, but you see, those stores had those cheese emporiums in order to pretend that they weren't big stores. Anyway, I think it's my hashtag that I'm using on Twitter at the moment, which is causing a big furore. Let's go. Jay is going viral.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you wait a minute, Jay? Did you win a race?
Yeah, maybe to the dinner.
That's a race I would be in with you.
Yeah. People are watching this. Am I actually online? Are we actually started?
Yeah you missed going. The intro. Yeah. We got tired of waiting for you.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So what about
you know, the whole Let's Go Brandon thing and Let's Go Jay is fine too. If they want to use me to accomplish the same goal, I'd be more than happy. I think all of us would volunteer for that.
It's now a felony. It's now a felony in Canada to say "Let's go, Brandon."
No.
So did you know that
true,
the number?
That's true.
I know, right? The number. This is what it's so funny about it, though. The number one hip hop song last week in the United States was "Let's Go, Brandon."
I know, but which is the because you'll know Jay because he knows diddly squit about sport. Which is the arena in America that's actually banning the crowd to singing "Let's Go, Brandon"? Because it's going to make it even worse, isn't it? How can stop that?
Right. That's if you want to hear 100,000 instead of 70,000 people say it, ban it. It's a college campus, and
it is. Yeah, who was it? It's one that's saying they're trying to ban it.
Yeah, I did honestly. I just let it slip, but I watched the story, and I just thought, that pretty much sells about 5,000 T-shirts in the
yeah, exactly. Right there, it does
in team colors, of course, but still.
I here's a little known fact. My, again, Trent, I'll have no idea what we're talking about here, but my team, which is Liverpool Football Club, we took 30 years to win a major trophy again here in the UK, which is our Premier League. But there is a massive synergy between Liverpool Football. I think we've said this before, but I just want to make the listeners aware of this, that Fenway Sports are the owners of Liverpool Football Club and of the Boston Red Sox. As I think I've said in the past, and I've been to Fenway Sports, Fenway to watch the Boston Red Sox. Right. And actual fact, there is a huge synergy between the supporters as well in the way that they're hugely patriotic to their team. And they went through years and years of nothing, as you all know. But there is a great history. And both clubs, our club is the most successful club in history in Europe from a British point of view. We are second in championships. We're one behind Manchester United, but they are three behind us in terms of what you would describe as World Series is. And that's, if I look at it, the synergy between the New York Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox is very, very similar. to Manchester United and right. Liverpool. And this weekend, I'm having to go to the ground where I have to wear a mask, as it were, because I'm going to Manchester United's ground this weekend. We play them away. And I have a dilemma. Here's a nice dilemma to start the day. They have spent millions, millions and millions more than we have, okay? But currently, the money hasn't done the talking. We're winning the trophies, they're winning nothing. And their manager's the next player. And the quandary is, we are 4 points ahead of them. And if we win on Sunday, it looks as though this manager that they're very loyal to because he's an ex-player is going to get the he's going to be given the old Biden treatment, and he's going to lose his job. So our quandary is: do we actually want to win at the weekend? Because he's got a 5-year contract.
So I've told you guys about we talked last week or a couple weeks ago maybe about my original landlady. Right when I lived in England and kind of some of the funny things.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
When she said the word Liverpool, she did the fake spit thing, she's a hardcore Manchester fan. And
yeah, they normally live about 300 miles away from Manchester. That's very, very well observed, because they never.
Right.
You know that all the real Manchester fans support Manchester City. They don't support Manchester United. Manchester United are like the New York Yankees.
Yeah, she would say, well, I also grew up believing I was a Yankees fan when I was a kid, because in West Texas, the only station that we could get was two clear channel stations. One of them was a big clear channel station out of St. Louis, which still goes today. And the other one was a big clear channel station out of New York City that skipped in there.
Time out. KMOX is owned by Clear Channel?
No, I'm saying it was, you know, when they had the old Clear
We're
Channel
going way
bands,
back, yeah.
The bands okay. that okay. Okay. at
He's going
night
back to
they
Crystal
were
radio sets. He's not talking about something recent, Trent.
Yeah. No, this is way back when. KMOX was one of the stations that could turn up their
right.
Their
right.
volume
I,
big
I,
time.
I can't
blast
believe you,
Jake,
because I would have thought you'd have been a St. Louis Cardinals fan then. A great, great history, no. great team.
Yeah, well, so my grandfather, who I idolized, said they just had to pick. And at the time, the year that they picked, St. Louis had won two or three championships in a row back in the 20s. And so he just decided that he would go with the underdog, and it was the Yankees for that particular
wow.
year. And wow. it stuck for generations. My son, finally made me become a Texas Rangers fan. But
good,
yeah. But
because you don't want to be associated with the song, the YMCA song. That's
yeah. No, I get it. I just thought it was always funny that lady. She would say anybody would say Liverpool. She would say Liverpool. She was a polite and proper woman, you know. It wasn't like she typically would do that.
Andrew, the only way that this conversation is going to be justified in any way, shape, or form in the first segment, because you talked about big box stores and across the pond, which you should never do, and now you're talking about something that nobody cares about but you two. So the story has to end with the only reason that I'm going to this game this weekend, the only reason I'm enduring wearing this mask is because every time somebody scores, you're going to take your mask off and shout at the top of your lungs, "Let's go, Brandon!"
Yeah, well, I will be singing. I will actually do a little video of me going, "Let's go, Brandon," at the ground, because there'll be 80,000 people there, and I will do it for you. I'll get a little clip of me. And maybe a few people around me going, "Let's go, Brandon." So that ends the segment.
Okay. Time out. Joe Hayes has just explained something to me that I had to have explained because I was totally lost. Jay Truitt mentioned a Clear Channel station. Clear Channel owns about 1,400 radio stations in the U.S. today. And that is not what you were talking about. You were talking about a clear... Here in camp.
Yeah, the thing is though, Trent, see, when it's not your subject, you think nobody else knows about it. And actually, I wouldn't mind betting a lot of people in America understand their sports more than you do. And maybe
I think that's the problem, Andrew. That is the problem. Is that people spend too much time worrying about sports instead of things that matter. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to balance the ship.
Before you go on your break, can I just make one other point to you?
Quickly.
We are totally against people who stop other people talking about certain things. So just like Beijing Biden wants people to stop talking about various things, if I want to talk about Publix or Sam's Club and you have a good retort to come back on it, fair enough, but tell me I can't do it. That's not the sort of society you or I want to live in.
I just don't want to give them any promotion. We got to go to a break. Let's see. We're way over time. ProtectTheHarvest.com. Get more details about assisting you in protecting your property rights. It's more important than ever. Back with something of substance after this. Welcome back. Roll Route alongside Andrew Henderson, who's a little too spitey today. Jay Truitt. So,
Can I answer Margaret Granny Louise's question?
Well, sure.
I have to wear a mask.
Because if I tell you you can't, you're going to give me this big speech about censorship and not being able to allow you to express yourself on this program, even though you talk nonstop, nobody else can say anything. Go ahead, Andrew.
I don't have to wear a mask, but it's advisable when there's only 2,000 of you and 78,000 of the others in the crowd. So you have to be a little bit discreet when you go to that horrible place. Carry on, Trent.
It doesn't help you, though. You're only harming yourself by wearing a mask. You're not protecting yourself.
It's a different type of mask. It's sort of not. It's not the same as the ones that you use for the Chinese pandemic.
Can't you just wear a big scarlet letter on your chest or something that shows that you've already had it? Right?
Hey, you should get your antibody test printed up really big and just wear it on your chest. Just
hold it. Hold it all. Walk around with it in front of you. Or like one of those giant cone heads.
You're talking about two different issues as well. I'm not trying to wear a mask because of COVID. It's because I don't want them to recognize that I'm a Liverpool fan. You just don't get it, do you?
Right, yeah.
You just don't get it.
Okay.
I do get it, you're right.
We'll put the antibody results in the shape of an L on your chest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, Jay, I think he just said that he's ashamed of being a Liverpool fan. He's going to try to camouflage himself with a bunch of people from Manchester. That's what he said.
No, listen, I will tell you, without him having to say it, he's probably just a little bit nervous about getting – like the crap beat out of him somewhere in the crowd, the stadium, or in the bathroom, right? He becomes the guy, the first middle-aged guy to get a swirly in the bathroom, you know, in the last 55 years.
That's the problem. I wouldn't be the first.
Yeah, right? You wouldn't, right?
No, I wouldn't be the first.
All right. Back to official business. Did either of you catch on Friday evening late from the White House, October the 15th, statements and releases? You can find full details about what I'm about to share with you. But it is a fact sheet called Biden's Administration Roadmap to Build an Economy Resilient to Climate Change Impacts. I've read the entire thing this morning. Let me just give you one little glimpse of something that it says to give you an idea of how intrusive this is going to be. The VA, Veterans Administration, which has nearly $913 billion in loan volume outstanding to the United States veterans, the U.S. government, is conducting a review on the climate-related impacts to its home loan benefits program. So, in other words, if you're a veteran of this nation and you're part of that system where you're somehow got a little debt to the U.S. government, you're going to be homeless. That's pretty much what the entire thing says. I've read it all this morning. It says that by 2050, anybody that's not net carbon zero, you're part of the communism. particularly from a banking. So what they're doing, I now clearly see this all ties into every executive order that's been put into place since January 27th. And the one that I've spent so much time on that includes a 30 by 30 provision that includes eliminating fossil fuel extraction, eliminating fossil fuel usage. If any bank loans anybody any money that's not complying with what the government deems to be climate change neutral, you're out of business. You're done. You're toast. Yeah. And nobody's reported it. Jay, no single outlet has reported how intrusive this is. And it is just a step towards communism. And the whole COVID thing, as damaging as it is to human lives and families along the way, it's just a smokescreen for what they really want to do.
So but it's the all whole, pop. Let me just say this. The goal here, by the president, really, I read the top line of it. I didn't go through and read all the links, right? So I just kind of scanned over it and shook my head, just like everyone should have. But I think the real message out to all the various secretaries in each one of the departments is that start looking for the ways that you can do this. I don't really think it was intended to be super instructional. But I do think that your assumption that this was directed back to the 30-30 kind of initiative and the things that they did much earlier on, which do have a little bit of teeth to them, I think absolutely this was now here's the end goal. Look for everything that you can do. For example, maybe try this. For example, maybe try that. There is a big difference between a statement and an EO. As you guys know, I know it's been discussed on this show before, of kind of what authority that really has. A statement doesn't, but it is a statement is the one of the things that you put out that explains how I want you to do what I legally told you to do here a few months ago. And so, yeah, it's pretty, it should send people to the corner a little bit and make them just fight their way out from this point forward.
It's not gonna happen, is it? Let's be honest, guys. I mean, anything that clown says is gonna be reversed. That's all I can say. I mean, it's now becoming, you've got five of your own, your Navy, your Air Force, your Marines, your Army, and five of your major military forces have all clubbed together, and they're now doing a class action against the president and the Pentagon for his mandate, which, by the way, he hasn't actually taken through any court or any house or Congress, and he hasn't even written an executive order on. He's actually 100% going to lose.
Yeah, so, I think I'd agree with that.
You cannot understand how when I look at Southwestern Airlines and what they're trying to do, they're all going to lose these class actions. They're all going to lose. It's laughable.
I'm not arguing with you in the end we win, but I'm seeing the path of destruction in people's lives and families until we get there.
Well, it's because we continue to allow it to
drone on.
Yeah, but you don't want to be looking at Agenda 30, do you? You want to be looking at Agenda 22. Because next year, the whole of Europe, and as far as I can see, you're part of this, is going to starve. That's a pretty serious issue.
That's part of this, what I just read. Everything that is happening globally to cripple the food supply and infrastructure is to further their whole concept that climate change is happening. And if you don't give us control, you're going to die. That's the whole premise.
Do you know what the coldest 3 years have been in the last 90 years?
Well, probably the last three.
Yeah. That was another thing Trump got right. He said the world's going to get colder. The Antarctic is expanding at the moment.
Right.
And he's right. So that's why they went from global warming to climate change to now it's going to be climate emergency, apparently. That's the next load of bovine fecal matter we're going to have to listen to. But at the end of the day, people are just looking at all this now. Have you seen the thing about the BBC, the Washington, not the Washington, the New York Times, and it says about all these different news organizations that agreed to do certain things on the 20th of January, 2020 to make sure that the public around the whole world weren't made aware of things surrounding the pandemic. Item number one was to try and shield the public from the fact that the virus could have come from Wuhan. Item number two was to make sure that they denigrated potential therapeutics that could have solved the outbreak of the pandemic in the first place. And it goes on and it goes on. And all this is getting out. And are you aware yesterday, because it's well documented, Jay, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but I'm pretty sure that Trent might be, that yesterday Facebook went into huge defense because they are now aware of the fact that major leaks are about to drop on what they've been doing with other news agencies. And they went on the defensive and said that when these people start to publish the information, it's not necessarily those people that made the decisions within Facebook. And then I found out that 30 journalists are now in safe houses all over the USA in order to bring these stories to the public. Are you aware of this? So it's going to be quite...
I'm not aware, nor do I know that it's true. But well, I know this is true. I have to go to a break, and Certified Piedmontese creates an opportunity for you, the cattleman. A great conversation with Diego yesterday, looking through our Piedmontese-sired calves. We plan to wean them this week because the moon is right. Even though it's a full hunter's moon, it's weaning time, according to the Almanac. Get details about how you can add more dollars into your bank account, which is absolutely necessary, unless there's no bank. The details about your involvement in Certified Piedmontese, that's clear at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. We're back for the second half of Rural Route after this. Welcome back, Rural Route. Trent Luce with the runaway horse named Andrew Henderson, all lathered up, trying to convince me this is true. Jay Truitt, we're going to get to the second part of my Biden statement, because there is a second part that's relevant today here and now, thanks to our production assistant, a guy named Greg Dowd. Right. All right. You want to convince me that this is true?
No, I want to hear what Greg Dowd's got to say, because I respect what Greg says. So let's hear it.
Okay. Well, I don't discount that there are 30 journalists in safe houses, but Andrew, you got to admit you can hear anything and everything in today's world. You got to accept everything with a degree of skepticism.
No, but Facebook did actually come out on Twitter last night and warn people that information was about to come out that was very, very denigrating towards them. So
Facebook,
they aren't worried.
Facebook put a person on 60 Minutes to try to convince us that that person was a whistleblower. I trust nothing that comes from Facebook. Yeah, it's a bunch of pathological liars that want to control you in my life.
To be fair to you, everybody knows that wasn't a whistleblower, and it was their attempt to try and put more censorship on all the other media outlets.
I could see that logic.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Greg Dowd sent an article to Jay and I. Andrew's not in the loop on this, I guess, yet. That China is completing, I think it's 12, Jay, the 12th coal-fired power plant that they've been building at a time when we are shutting down coal-fired power plants, not only in the United States, but around the world. And China now has 12 new ones.
Right. So the math that somebody had done to support it was that in like 19 days, China had already created more CO2 emissions than we saved all year by shutting our plants down. And, that's the whole story.
It is.
You're going to buy all the batteries off them as well. Yeah. You're going to let them produce all the energy to make the batteries and then buy the batteries off them. you've got D-I-C-K something else on your forehead at the moment in America. Right. You? I mean, you're just stupid.
The other side of the equation is that there's only like three other places in the world, you know, that you can get those rare earth materials. One of them being Afghanistan, which we just gave back to the Chinese. So, yeah. I mean, Afghanistan produces rare earth.
He's a master of business acumen, your Beijing Biden, isn't he?
Man, you just can't. You know, it is kind of funny that, like, last week the story recirculated again about his brother getting a business license in China. And and I kept it recirculated kind of, I won't call it the dark web, because I don't even think I know what the dark web really is. It's one of those things I hear about, but I've never actually seen, I don't think. But on the conservative media sites, that story kind of just went through like wildfire one afternoon. And it floated back through all of the systems. And I had somebody even from Washington, D.C. that had called me, and they said, hey, did you see this story? Do you know about it? And I go, yeah, it's like a year old now at this point. I'm glad you finally noticed it. That tells me that you're checking. I know what websites you're looking at now, right? Because it was only on about 10. And they go, well, what do you mean? Isn't the rest of the media picking it up? And I go, no, look at them. I have this horrible habit every morning. I wake up and I go through, I have like 10 tabs that automatically open on my computer, you know, and I do that literally so that I can just close them one at a time after I see what everybody's headlines are and all the major news sources. And it still has never made the news. It still never made the news. Meanwhile, again, to the point that Greg had circulated the story to us this week, we're all back. We've had our little European confab, right? So we have our marching orders now on climate emergency, climate change, climate drama, whatever that's going to be for the next 2 or 3 months.
I like climate drama. That's good.
Yeah, but it happens. Here's the interesting thing, right? I mean, really, the whole world kind of got punked. All the world's leaders kind of got punked to try to support a piece of legislation that is like gasping for air, like those guppies in a really hot little pond in your backyard, you know, on Capitol Hill. And they thought, I think everybody believed that if we talk enough about it, then the Democrats will get reinfused to go after this thing, you know, and really support it. Well, the catch 22 in all of this is that Joe Manchin's son owns the largest natural gas company in West Virginia. And that's where their family came from. It's really, even in West Virginia, which is a coal state, they have some coal interest as well, but he's a natural gas fighter for a whole bunch of people. And so he gets a chance to actually see the information from both sides. I don't think Joe Manchin would do something just to support the natural gas industry and make his son wealthier. That's not what I'm implying at all. But I do think that he's one of the people that you just can't scare. You can't scare out of this. He's the vote they have to get. And so the whole world can think whatever they can. He's going to do whatever he's going to do.
Mary Henderson sharing that in Canada, they shut down a coal-fired power plant that had carbon capture.
Yeah, right.
So now you still think it's all about carbon?
Yeah. I want to speak to Scott Robinson in a couple of years' time, because that guy's living somewhere in a shoebox in his house. That's all I can say. But anyway, let him carry on. If he's one of the 12% that are left that believes in Beijing Biden. So there we go. Anyway,
that's all right. I mean, somebody.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
You know, he's the one guy of the that's real go at us on the chat.
Yeah, he can't believe that.
Yeah. While we're on that, Jay, before we leave China, because in the last segment, who knows where we'll go? It appears that every other country in the world has decided to throttle China's consumption of their food items, except us.
Yeah. Well, you know, other countries are looking at surplus. Well, so let's put it in two categories first, though. There is an important distinction. You gotta cut everybody a little slack in the decisions that they made. most of what we send China is really, honestly, livestock feed, not so much direct human food or livestock feed ingredients. That's the majority of what we ship there. What a big portion of other parts of the world ship into China are direct human food products. And I do think that there's a number of countries, based on the discussion that we were having before, there's a number of countries that are starting to look at what are their own human food supply chains looking like, and are we going to continue to export at the same level that we have been? And the answer has been no in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases. In our case, though, number two, yellow corn is not something that human beings eat a lot of ingredients from number two yellow corn, but they mostly eat products produced by number two yellow corn around the world. Plain and simple.
But this year, our beef exports to China are off the charts. I mean, it's not even, you can't even say it's like four times, five times. It's like off the charts in terms of what we've normally been doing.
Yeah, no,
I don't think the rest of the world has any food. I mean, I know what's happening here. I mean, I've got, as you know, a nutrition business based in the UK, and we know from last week that now we haven't got any fertilizer for next year. Our fertilizer plants have closed down because of the price of gas, which was started very clearly by the closing of your pipeline in America after Biden got inaugurated. It caused a world fuel panic. Mm-hmm. And that has precipitated across the world. And now that rise in fuel costs has meant that lots of companies are having to close production because they've become inefficient. And that's why we don't have carbon to give for pigs, as you know, Trent. But also we're now not producing ammonium nitrate, which is crucial for the growth of all the vegetables in the country. Let's forget about beef, sheep, and
okay, let's talk about this pig thing for a moment. Think about the hypocrisy of this. You cannot run the pig through the plant, the harvest facility, because you don't have CO2 to kill it. So you're telling the farmer to euthanize it at home. Who does that make sense to? You still have a dead pig at the end of the day. Is this right? You have a dead pig nobody can eat.
In the wrong place.
Yeah.
And when people like, you know, I've said 12% is probably the real figure of the actual Democrat support now, because I think the libertarians are leaving, like, you know, they're jumping off the boat as quickly as they can. When you look at the starvation, the empty shelves, the fuel prices, the complete disaster of the withdrawal from Afghanistan. When you look at America's position in the world right now, it's nothing to do with right wing. Right wing is when you mandate people to have things done to their bodies without their consent. That is right wing, sir, whoever's making those comments on our chat. Right wing is not, I want freedom for everybody, free speech for everybody. I want investment in health and education. That is not right wing, sir. Right wing is when you stop people talking to each other and having a view. And that's what your government's doing worldwide. And our government's doing the same. And the rest of Europe's rising up, but you're just not getting told about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fact. And I know I've been very lighthearted about it, but I'm lighthearted because it's actually, if you didn't smile, you'd cry. Because this regime is trying to destroy the world as we know it. Fact. You don't have to be a doctor or a scientist to work it out either. You only have to work in the farming industry and
critical thinking. You just have to be a critical thinker. Where has the critical thinking gone? That's the question.
You just have to look at the fact that my farmers in Cheshire at the moment are saying to me, what are we going to do? We haven't got any fertilizer. How are we going to make next year's cheese?
Right.
How are we going to grow the crops, the wheat, the barley, the maize? How are we going to do it? All because of a stupid idiot sat in the White House.
No, it's all intended. It's a plan, Andrew. You got to be a resistance to the plan. I got a plan. We got to go to a break. And finally, Dr. Nathan Bryan and I have come to a deal. You know, he talks about the benefit, and I absolutely believe in nitric oxide. And I've been on nitric oxide supplementation for 18 years. And now Nathan has given you, my listener, a break, a 10% discount, plus no charge and shipping. Go to no2u.com. and get yourself on nitric oxide every single day. Put Trent in the coupon code. You get a 10% discount and no shipping. We're back with the last segment of Rural Route after this. Welcome back, Rural Route. I'm going to start growing spirulina. Dr. Fogarty and I are going to figure that out right here in Nebraska.
You got to grow it.
Can I give you a little update on that? I gave it to somebody that has been double jabbed.
You missed what Jay said. Jay had the line of the day, and you missed it because you're talking about double jab. He said, "You better find some nitrogen, though."
Yeah. Well, actually, do you know what? Do you know what the answer is? I've been approached by a company that you know very well. Algae may well be the answer to this problem because it's got obviously protein in it, and it can be used as a fertilizer. So, and you can grow algae, as you know. So that could be an interesting solution or part solution. But also digestate from
Along those lines, he's retired now, but he was a dairyman in Wisconsin, and he was ahead of the curve in this. And he told me 15 years ago when I would go to the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association meetings, John Fries was the president, and he had a dairy in Russia, in Siberia, as long as Wisconsin. If you're going to be in Wisconsin, you might as well be in Siberia. And he started growing algae because he wanted to produce algae as a biofuel.
Yeah.
And what happened, he didn't anticipate, because what happened was the algae had a higher value as an omega-3 oil, and he started using it to enhance his cheese instead of putting it in your diesel tank. Now, how about that for a little turn of events?
There's a lot of things, because there are, I'm going to, it's an estimate, I think there's 12,000 or even more different types of algae. And we're very, very, you know, we're at the start of what the applications could be. But the fact that you can grow it, you know, exponentially, it's a great opportunity, given that we aren't going to have any nitrogen next year.
It's not cheap, cost-wise. For a short period of time, I represented one of the largest algae producing companies in the world, and I was kind of amazed at their capabilities. Number one, that's true, but it is. It's not as cheap as our traditional fertilizer products.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you were right until fertilizer went over 344 pounds a ton.
Well, yeah, no, that's true too, right? Yeah.
So I've done all the calculations. It is actually very cost effective right now, but it's only now that, and you have to use it in conjunction with the farmer's slurry. So a lot of the arable farmers are going to struggle, because we have about 650 anaerobic digester plants here in the UK now, and they're all screaming at them, can they have the digestate? They've never wanted it before. They were, you know, they're offered it for nothing at one point, but now it's going to be a very valuable commodity, because with combining that with the slurry and algae, we could actually reduce some of these huge increases in cost and save our crops, which is more important. But I don't think we're going to get anywhere near where we need to be. I think we're going to be so short of food, it's frightening.
And so Andrew, are they capturing the methane on those digesters?
Yes, they are. But you see, thanks to Beijing Biden, that's tripled in price. Gas has tripled in price in the last 7 months. So, you know,
time out. What if they have, there's, you said 63 digesters in the UK, or just
about 630, I said.
Okay, 630. They capture the methane. What do they do with the methane?
The methane is converted into gas and sold to the national grid.
Okay, that was my question.
But they have there's a byproduct, which is digestate, which actually a lot of the, because when gas was a third of the price, these anaerobic digesters were only making money because they were getting government support. Now they're going to make money hand over foot because of because of what's happening globally. And so, in fact, I'm going to one this afternoon. And what's interesting is that they are now saying to me, oh, could you organize the sale of our digestate for us? Because I'll tell you what they were concerned about. I spoke to one owner this morning, actually, and this is going to be very interesting because you'll be able to tell me about the ethanol plants in the US. These guys have never, they've always been wanting a market for their digestate, and they know it's got value as a fertilizer. But their concern is that when they do a deal with a farmer, and Trent, I want you to take this the right way because I'm not trying to be hostile here, but I can see what their point is. When they do a deal with a farmer, what happens if the price of nitrogen collapses because there's a market,
right?
You know, the market for fuel drops. And I said, well, what you do is you do contracts. They said, what do you mean? And I said, well, when I deal with farmers, I'll do a contract for the next 6 months on their feed or their nutrition supply. And then they have to buy into and sign into that contract, because if you're offering them something that has a value now and they decide that's a good value, you put them on a contract. And these AD plants had never even thought of that, which surprised me. But that commodity, that byproduct so far hasn't had a value. They've just had it giving it away, to be honest. So, you know, that's one tiny good thing to come out of this so far, but it's not a great thing.
No, I agree. Jay, I interrupted you.
No, I think just the point that I was going to make earlier was that it's kind of interesting. I sat at a meeting with a bunch of small ranchers, and one of the people in the meeting also happened to have been a Mennonite guy who was trying to recruit people to grow chickens for him on cattle operations. And the number one pitch at this point is fertilizer.
Yeah, it still is. And
these were laying hen operations. And so they were, you know, they were looking at those things are a fairly profitable venue if you can get into the right kind of a contract, right, and all the things that go with it.
I've got a friend here in Nebraska that put up nearly 20 of them.
Yeah.
And they are not managing the birds. They hired an outside firm to manage the birds. He doesn't care. He does anything other than break even on the birds. He wants to pay the labor the same amount they get paid for raising the birds. He just wants access to the chicken litter to apply to his fields.
Yeah. And that's the big pitch here, is that you can permanently replace, or at least for the next 7 years, we guarantee you that you're going to produce enough litter to keep your pastures up to snuff, and that you can keep your beef production at the level that you want without having any outside cost. People that know me know that I'm like kind of an anti-chicken guy. But even I had to sit there and I thought, oh, well, actually that's really smart. You know, I got to think through that. And what am I going to, how am I going to explain that to the people that I know and love that now I'm actually got laying hens? I don't know how I get around it, but there's a reasonable chance that someday you're going to see me doing the show on the weekends from a laying hen house that has a pasture-based program, so that we can ship them out to the idiots in California that are willing to pay $8 a dozen.
Okay, now I'm going to scold you. Don't comply with Proposition 12. Let the Californians starve. They've got to learn. They're never going to be happy. That'll be something else. The chickens got to lay the egg at 12. No, I'm serious. When you have states continuing to enact laws that are not normal or customary for standard procedure and animal husbandry and stewardship, you don't comply with them. You tell them, go hungry.
Yeah, that is
true. Well, what happens if you're, what happens if all your lawmakers in Nebraska started to do that? Would you accept that as an individual when you've got a different view?
No, I would not accept it, nor would I let it happen. I was in California fighting it 14 times in 2008, and it's time to let them starve, because they'll never be happy.
Hopefully there's one thing that you will both agree with me on, though, that the future for improvements in efficiency with regards to crops and growing fodder for animals, I do believe laid more in the soil than just using artificial fertilizer. So I'm hoping that sometimes when the bad people try and do things, they ignite some of the science that's there in order for us to do even better in the future. So I'm hoping that that's the silver lining from this treacherous policy that we're seeing worldwide with regards to shortages of food, which are hitting Europe right now, and I believe are hitting America. Is that not correct? I mean, are you not starting to see shortages in America or not?
Shortages of fertilizer?
No, food. Actually, goods in stores.
I'm not going to say there's shortages. There's not the normal inventory at this moment. The shortages are coming.
I haven't seen any. And I mean, and the numbers that I track are a different set of numbers, and it would be kind of foolhardy for somebody like me to start trying to track retail numbers or something like that now, because I just don't have the experience for it. I would say this: in the big commodity supply chains around the world, we don't have the shortfalls yet, but again, I can't reinforce this enough, that when people start saying, oh, well, we did X to Europe, or we did X to China, or we did X to Mexico, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Most of that volume is in commodity products that really are not for direct human food consumption, not in that first generation. It may be to support human food production, and a lot of it is, right? But that's number one. Number two, even when you break down what we are sending around the world, China being a good example. So, and Trent mentioned the enormous volume of beef that's moving to China. There is some high quality product that moves into China, but it's a minuscule portion. The vast majority of it is some stuff that people will have to be hungry in the United States before they would try to figure out how to eat it. We have some cultures here in the United States that like tripe, that like all those other kinds of what we call awful products, not AWFUL, right? But OF.
Yeah, OWFUL.
And the reality is that that's been, that and trimmings have been the majority of what we're sending out to China. And they just have a different culture for what they're going to, how and what they're going to consume. But let's not. I'm not terribly nervous about the commodity side of it, but I do hear all my friends in the retail business that are a little bit nervous, and they're nervous about the supply chain holdups on the West Coast and the East Coast now off of Wilmington. I guess the ships are building up, but I'm just going to do a quick commercial for the Port of Jacksonville, Florida, who has said no line waiting here. Come and we will offload you and get you on your way. No, you don't even need to moor. Just come right on.
And that is it. We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America. All three of us remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.